This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, it's always great to have you with us.
It's always great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, the last time we spoke to you, John, you were on your way to the airport, actually, to go out west and cover the California Republican State Convention out there. What did you learn?
Well, surprisingly, in a state that's often referred to as the Left Coast, Republicans feel very confident that they can hold the governorship with Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger termed out. That's primarily because of two words, Jerry Brown. That's right, Governor Moonbeam, now state attorney general and 71 years old, is the very likely Democratic nominee for governor. Golden State GOPers feel that with either candidate they have, billionaire businesswoman Meg Whitman or State Insurance Commissioner Steve Poizner, they can overcome a Brown comeback, or should we call it a Brownback. It should be noted, Meg Whitman took some heat this weekend when the Sacramento Bee revealed that she had not been a registered voter until 7 years ago. She is sorry for this. She points out that it's unpatriotic to miss votes and won't do so again. Nonetheless, the issue seems to have come to life, along with the fact she didn't become a Republican until 07 and has praised deposed White House job czar Van Jones. These may not be big issues in a general election. They certainly will be in a Republican primary next year.
John, which way do you see the Republican Party in California heading? In 2002, they selected a conservative, Bill Simon, over the more liberal Richard Reardon, the former mayor of Los Angeles. And then in the very next year, during the recall election, they went with the more moderate Arnold Schwarzenegger against the conservative Tom McClintock. Which side's going to win this time?
Well, just a second now. Arnold Schwarzenegger was not nominated in a primary. He was on a ballot to select a replacement for recalled Governor Gray Davis, along with the conservative Tom McClintock and many Democrats and independents as well. I have some serious doubts about whether the Terminator could have survived in a primary with registered Republicans only. My prediction is that whatever the direction of the state, the voters in the Republican primary tend to be more conservative than the Golden State at large, and Steve Poizner, himself a moderate on social issues, conservative on taxes and spending, will emerge triumphant over Meg Whitman.
John, let's shift quickly to the health care debate. The Senate Finance Committee is ground zero for that right now. Tuesday was a bad day for liberals. They lost two different amendments that would have added the public option to the Baucus bill. Wednesday, a bad day for Republicans. They wanted to make sure the taxpayer funds would not be used to subsidize abortions, and they even wanted to protect the conscience clause for doctors. Both of those shot down. So as we stand, which side has the momentum?
Well, I would say it's a standoff at this point. And remember, not all Republicans favored the abortion ban. Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah led the charge on that and was set back on the votes that would have kept public funding from abortion. Max Baucus said this is about health care, not abortion. And at the same time, one has to remember that the package that was cobbled together by the Gang of Six is increasingly becoming a wholly owned subsidiary of one person, Senator Baucus, Finance Committee Chairman. As Republican Senator Jim Inhofe of Oklahoma put it, the Gang of Six is the Gang of One. And it does not look like it is getting any new supporters, certainly, on either side of the aisle. This just backs up what I said earlier on your program, Greg. There will be no new bill on health care this year, and the president will sign nothing before Congress adjourns.
Let's shift over just a little bit to the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee. Barbara Boxer unveiling her climate change or cap and trade or energy reform legislation, however you want to term it. What's the fate of that bill likely to be?
Well, if I can refer again to Senator Inhofe of Oklahoma, it's the largest tax increase in history. His words exactly when I saw him yesterday, shortly after Senator Boxer and Senator Kerry unveiled the vote that was out there. I have to say that this is not going to sell anywhere. It barely passed the House of Representatives. It has no backing whatsoever among Republicans. And quite frankly, the Democrats are a little bit reluctant to get into it, particularly because they fear it is going to lead to an electricity tax that will hit hardest on the poor, hence the term cap and tax. I might add, Senator Inhofe mentioned to me that the Clinton tax increase of 1993 raised taxes $32 billion. When the cost of cap-and-trade legislation is added up over a period of years, it comes to $350 billion in raised taxes, and that's why Inhofe is confident in calling it the largest tax increase in history. I say it's DOA.
John, let's talk about a couple of other key issues. We mentioned gubernatorial politics out in California. There's also an open congressional seat and a special campaign going on for the 23rd Congressional District in New York because the former Congressman John McHugh has been appointed to the Obama administration inside the Pentagon. But there's some interesting wrangling on the conservative side in this race. Explain.
Well, Didi Scozzafava, a very liberal Republican, was nominated by Republican Party leaders when Congressman John McHugh was named Secretary of the Army. Conservatives balked, and the Conservative Party of New York, which has a ballot line, put up Doug Hoffman, an Army veteran and very successful certified public accountant. He plans to use $300,000 of his own money in the race, and he is picking up endorsements from people who find that Republican Scozzafava's views on abortion or marriage, she voted for gay marriage, or for the legislation that contains card check, are not their cup of tea. And national Republicans are getting into the act as well. Fred Thompson, former senator from Tennessee and presidential candidate, last week came out for the Conservative Party candidate, Doug Hoffman.
John, this smacks of a splintered party. Is this a good chance for a Democratic pickup?
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, the Democrat, William Quinn, is starting to get a lot of money from the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee and indeed is appearing on television, emphasizing his background as a private businessman and a veteran. It could well lead to a Democrat being elected. To talk to the supporters of Mr. Hoffman, however, if the Liberal Democrat Quinn and the Liberal Republican Scozzafava divide up the non-conservative vote, Hoffman could be elected with a plurality, and history could be made.
Speaking of pluralities, and that reminds me of the last time Angela Merkel of Germany was on the ballot, but a much easier win for her, it seems, this past weekend, John.
It was Angela in Wonderland, truly, because the chancellor, a center-right political leader, got the alliance she wanted. Instead of the last 4 years in a forced marriage with the Socialist Party, she now is allied with the smaller but very conservative Free Democratic Party and its leader, Guido Westerwahl, who now becomes foreign minister. I might add, the first openly gay foreign minister anywhere in the world. That said, Angela Merkel's party and the socialists both had very poor showings. She maintains power because she had an ally who did very, very well, 14% of the vote. In addition, parties such as the Greens and the Party of the Left gained. This is a sign that voters, maybe not now, but in future elections, may turn to extremes in Germany, and we can see the political landscape altered. For now, Madam Merkel can turn to things such as expanding the nuclear power of Germany, cutting taxes, cutting the size of government, which she could never do when the socialists were in power. It'll be a good 4 years, and I'm sure the chancellor is very happy right now.
John, we'll have to leave it there. As always, a great pleasure to have you with us.
Auf Wiedersehen, mein Herren. I'm John Gizzi.
John Gizzi is political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.